This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you here with us this evening. Happy Chiefs game day. Another win for Kansas City. Not particularly pretty, but a W is a W. And for my fellow Bronco fans, again, not a pretty one, but we'll take it. Glad to have you here with us at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. If you'd like to join us this evening, you can call our studio lines are open at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com. On Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. First thing, just a quick note. I want to do this right at the top of the show. There's a big vote planned on Tuesday at the Wichita City Council meeting where they're going to deal with the homeless issue. They're finally going to pass a measure to address the city's homeless issue. And we need conservatives. We need pastors. We need business people to go in and support the conservative members of the Wichita City Council. And frankly, we need folks to call Becky Tuttle and help her understand how important it is that we pass this ordinance. That's Tuesday at 9. If you've got time, go attend the city council meeting and show your support for the conservative members of the city council, the Mayor Lily Wu, Dalton Glasscock, J.V. Johnston, and support them. Show your support. Make sure you're there because we need to address this problem. This ordinance, the changes that they're going to make are the way to do it. And we need to support them. And listen, this week, I've got some carry on commentaries on this. So make sure you listen to that every day, three times a day, right here on KNSS. Tonight, we've got a great show. Brigadier General Blaine Holt, who served as deputy ambassador at NATO for over a decade, will unpack Syria, Russia, Ukraine, and the current national security threats facing the country, including the drone situation. Bill Pascoe, Tea Party Patriots Action spokesperson, will join us to discuss Pete Hegseth's nomination for Secretary of Defense. We'll also talk with law enforcement expert Keith Hansen about L.A. officially declaring itself a sanctuary city for illegals. Los Angeles. When's the earthquake coming? That's all I got to say. And free market economist Michael Austin will share Americans for Prosperity Kansas's 2025 legislative agenda. Michael, say hello to everybody. Michael's actually in studio with us tonight.
Say hello, everybody. Hello, everybody.
Nicely done.
Thank you, John.
Just like it's, you know, he'll be with us all throughout the show to provide commentary and words of wisdom. So we'll talk with Michael all throughout the show. And of course, we'll be talking to you. So our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. Well, around this time of year, there's always a couple of special monologues that I like to do. Every year, I try to bring you a new version of a Christmas classic. So here is our 2024 John Whitmer Show version of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Except in this case, it's "Twas the Night Before Christmas," the liberal version. "Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the land, liberal policies failed just as they had planned. AOC tweeted in her socialist rage, while Biden just happened and just napped in his White House cage. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that the government would soon be fair. But the children were restless, the economy slow, thanks to the policies that made prices grow. When out from Washington arose a new clatter, we sprang from our beds to see what was the matter. Away to the X app we flew in a flash, then opened our feeds and posted some sass. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. But what to my wondering eyes should appear but a red, white, and blue sleigh and Trump's face full of cheer? But a list of failed policies to end off the year is what our wondering eyes sadly would appear. With a president so old, so confused, and so slow, we knew in a moment it must be poor Joe. More rapid than eagles came failures he caused, and he did so effectively without any pause. Now inflation, now open border, now foreign unrest, on crime, on energy caps, on DEI zest, to the bottom of the polls, to the opening of the walls, now giveaway, giveaway, giveaways for all. But then in a twinking I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. And as I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney Saint Trump came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his feet, and his clothes were all toiled and tailored, and his suit quite elite. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a winner. No sign of a lack. His eyes were bright, though a bit tired. His hair, oh, the hair, still golden, inspired. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry, and his smile was so wide, you'd think it was scary. Was a little bandage on his ear, though. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work. He filled all the stockings, then turned with a smirk. He wiped his hands clean, and with a perfect grace, he slapped down some tax cuts right in your face. Then laying a finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a cheer. Let's make America great again, starting next year. But I heard him exclaim as he flew out of sight, Merry Christmas to all, and to the liberals, good night. We'll take a quick break, and then veteran law enforcement expert Keith Hanspin will discuss Los Angeles officially declaring itself a sanctuary city. You gotta love those. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. They're a community of millions of concerned citizens, including Michael Austin, my co-host tonight, advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. If you want more information, if you want to join them, if you want to make your voice heard today, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Los Angeles, the second largest U.S. city, is setting itself up for a standoff with President-elect Trump over immigration. Last month, its city council passed a sanctuary city ordinance to bar using local resources to help federal immigration authorities. The ordinance will prevent federal immigration enforcement from being able to access city facilities or to use city resources in the pursuit of immigration enforcement. It will also prohibit some data sharing between immigration authorities and city officials and agencies. With us now to discuss how out of touch this action is with the rest of the country is Keith Hansen. He is a seasoned conservative radio host, also served as the co-director of training for Florida Carry, the Sunshine State's sole gun rights lobbying organization. Keith, thank you for joining us this evening. Merry Christmas, as we say that on this show. It's a pleasure to have you on this evening.
Well, good to be with like-minded people, John, and Merry Christmas to you and your listeners as well. Thanks for having me on.
Keith, let me ask you, L.A. is just 140 miles from the southern border. They have a substantial population of people, basically, who've broken the laws and entered the U.S. illegally. And yet the city council apparently wants more illegals to move to L.A., mm-hmm. right? I mean, they're basically just throwing open the doors and saying, move to L.A.
Yeah. You know, big-hearted liberal progressives, we understand that. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, do exactly what DeSantis did.
Right.
Fly them all on up to Martha's Vineyard. Hey, let's send them all over to, you know, to L.A. More to the point, not just to L.A., let's send them over to Brentwood. Let's send them to Hollywood.
Right.
You know, where all of these, you know, these very, very wealthy liberals who are completely disconnected from reality, let's send them all to their backyards. It's amazing how quickly, you know, suddenly when they're faced with the prospect of these people living in their backyards, oh, they don't want it. Which, of course, you know, is a comical illustration of their hypocrisy. But it proves the point. It makes the point. Listen, these sanctuary cities are setting themselves up for, number one, for a big legal challenge, one that they're not going to win. And I think it's really going to go back to what we saw, which was the basis of the South Dakota versus Dole lawsuit during the 1980s, during the Reagan administration. And this has actually been a very interesting constitutional conversation, because as a constitutionalist, I bring that up quite a bit. And people say, well, you know, would we want to cut funding off to states like Massachusetts or New Jersey or even California? Well, here's the difference between the South Dakota versus Dole situation, which, of course, was the deallocation of highway funds to South Dakota because they refused to bring their drinking age up to 21
right.
From 18. The difference being is that there is nothing in the Constitution that protects the drinking age. There is a constitutional mandate to the federal government to provide national security and to secure the borders. And so if you have a state or a city or, I mean, any type of political subdivision that chooses to engage in this behavior, it is not unconstitutional for the federal government to say, okay, we're going to literally choke you off and you're not going to get federal dollars. We're not going to have any federal aid that's going to go, or federal dollars that's going to go back into your state if you decide that you are going to block the federal government from doing what is a constitutional mandate to the federal government, and moreover, that is a mandate from the electorate in this country towards President Trump. Remember, President Trump was elected president overwhelmingly, not only via the Electoral College, but also the popular vote. And he was elected largely because of his pledge to purge this country of illegal immigrants.
Right.
That's right. Not to say that we're xenophobic, because of course we're not. We love immigrants and we love people who come across and do it the right way. But if you are illegally entering this country, then no, you haven't earned the right to be here. And I, for one, want you gone.
Well, you know, and one of the things that, I find most amusing here, I mean, look at it from this perspective. It wasn't that long ago that Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, was touting their sanctuary city laws. And then we started shipping illegals into New York City. And now look how he's changed his tune. And I think this may be what has to happen to L.A. I think you're absolutely right. If you know, illegals started camping out in, like you said, Brentwood or some of the upscale communities in outside of L.A., the suburbs, this might very well change things. We're talking with conservative radio talk show host Keith Hansen. Not to be outdone, the L.A. public school system has also reinforced its status as a sanctuary for illegal immigrants as well. So, I mean, I guess they're a flush with taxpayer money, because it must grow on trees out there. Because what's next? Are they going to start offering free housing, free health care?
I'm surprised that they haven't wound up offering some type of scheme like the universal income, or the universal, I forgot what the term was, the universal basic income. To be honest with you, you kind of expect that would be a testing ground for that concept. No, I mean, when you're a progressive liberal, you think money grows on trees. Of course, you know, the money growing trees are actually the ATM called the public. You just raise their taxes. And of course, that's exactly how we do this. Tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. We know that song and dance. And again, more to the point, I think the election of President Trump, the re-election of President Trump, was a referendum on the Biden economy. The people are tired of government waste. They're tired of government bloat. And to be honest with you, they recognize that taxation is theft. And they want their pocketbook to not be beaten up for once. And the last thing that people want is to see people who have committed a crime to be here. And let's be completely clear about this. They have violated U.S. code in the process of entering this country without proper documentation and not going through a proper port of entry. They have committed a crime. So when people say, well, you know, they're not criminals, no, they are, by very virtue of the fact that they chose an illegal means to enter the country. They should not be availing themselves of anything. I mean, people get upset because people who are serving life sentences in prison get three hots and a cot and video games and television and all that. And they say, well, you know, these people are being punished. Well, where is the punishment for people who, again, are violating U.S. code to come into this country? There's no punishment. As a matter of fact, it's a reward system, because they're getting housing, they're getting food, they're getting cell phones, right. They're getting prepaid debit cards, they're getting college education. They're getting things that Americans don't get. And I think that's the slap in the face. Geez, I'm better off, you know, literally going to Mexico City, walking into an American consulate, renouncing my U.S. citizenship, then illegally crossing back into the country, and now saying, well, I'm a refugee. And as if, like, the word refugee is somehow now carrying magical powers. Oh, you use the word refugee, and suddenly now the wallets and the purses of the American government open up, and you can avail yourself to all of these freebies. Now, Americans are tired of that, and that's why, not only via the Electoral College, but certainly through the popular vote, they re-elected President Trump, because he is the only person that understands the gravity of this situation.
Well said, Keith. This is Michael Austin here, free market economist. Beautifully said. And if you look to their resolution, it says, quote, we're going to fight you every inch of the way. Now, of course, we recognize this is California and they're going to go crazy as much as they can. But can you explain, why is it that these cities seem so hell bent on violating national sovereignty?
Because I believe that they think that President Trump is the fascist that they claim that he is. And more to the point, I see themselves setting him up at this point to be able to fulfill that narrative. It's almost like you accuse somebody of a crime and then you seek out, all right, so you're guilty. We're going to convict you of this crime. Now go out and find the substantiating evidence to support this, not only the charge, and the indictment and the trial, but now the conviction.
Yeah.
You're starting to see now the Democrat Party is setting up this shadow cabinet, which would have an equivalent position in a non-elected, non-appointed, non-official position. So whenever a member of Donald Trump's cabinet makes a statement, now the liberal press can go to the shadow cabinet and say, well, you know, here's a spokesperson for the Democrat Party who has a level of experience that's similar to or on par with this Trump cabinet member, for their perspective on it. And then, of course, you know, now you have the state of Colorado, the state of Illinois, that have developed these governors safeguarding democracy coalition. This is a really interesting group, because what they're going to look to do is now they're going to look to force President Trump. I believe this is just my looking into my own conservative crystal ball. What's likely to happen here? They're going to dig their heels in. They're not going to cooperate. They being the Trump administration, will do everything that they possibly can to try to use every available resource to gain compliance from these states. They'll dig their heels in even more. Trump winds up enacting the or utilizing the Insurrection Act. He winds up using the National Guards of these states and federalizing the National Guard to carry out some of these deportation mandates. And then at that point, it's where the Democrats, using their governor safeguarding democracy coalition and their shadow cabinets, come out and say, listen, we told you this guy was a fascist. We told you he was a Nazi. Here he is. We told you that he would weaponize the military. Of course, it's not weaponizing the military. It's using the mechanisms that exist within the Constitution allow the federal government to do what they need to do. But remember, truth doesn't matter when you're a liberal progressive. All that matters is the narrative and the perception of reality that you can use the narrative to create. So now, we told you Trump was a fascist. We told you Trump was a Nazi. We told you that Trump was going to weaponize the military. And here he is. He's weaponizing the military to literally put people onto buses and train cars. He is Hitler 2.0. That is what they are setting him up to do. Now, whether or not they'll be successful, whether or not the American electorate is stupid enough to buy that narrative and actually adopt that perception of reality, I don't know. Because, you know, I got to be honest with you, the American population and the American voting electorate was smart enough to realize the load of manure they were being sold by the Biden administration and by the Harris, you know, wannabe administration. They thoroughly rejected that and reelected Trump in record numbers, landslide numbers.
Well, you know, fortunately, you were right. And I think, though the press will be there, they're willing dupes in this. I think people are learning not to trust the press anymore either, Keith. I appreciate you again for joining us, brother. If folks are interested, if they want to check out episodes of your podcast, they can just search for The Keith Hansen Show on any of their favorite podcast links, correct?
That's correct, yeah. It's actually not a podcast. They're actually archives. Of my radio programs, but I mean
same thing as mine. I do the same thing after tonight's episode, we upload it, and then it becomes a podcast. Keith, yeah. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you again for joining us this evening, and have a very Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yes, thank you, Keith.
You too, to your listeners and your families. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
We'll take a quick break, and then Michael and I will discuss. We'll take your calls, and we'll talk about that story and what Governor Laura Kelly's been up to lately. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Well, did you miss a part of last week's John Whitmer Show? We got you covered. Don't worry about it. We post clips from all our shows. It's what why they pay Phil the big bucks. We also post single hours and the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and True Social page. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. By the way, this time of year, we're actively selling sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show. They're now available for the 2025 year. You can email john@knssradio.com. For example, we do next year, starting January 12th, actually, I will be broadcasting one Sunday a month from Topeka. That's sponsored by our friends at Eck Insurance. We'll be up in Topeka to bring you a live show from the Capitol once a month. Looking forward to that. So, Michael, let me, I seem to recall reading, I don't know if you saw it, but I thought I saw something where Laura Kelly commented on that immigration thing. Didn't she say something about illegals and whether or not she was going to cooperate with the administration on that?
She did, and I think it was sometime within the week ago, Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly, in response to questions about whether she's going to support President Trump's efforts to get all these illegal migrants out of the country and those who are committing heinous crimes. Laura Kelly said this. She said she supports deporting people who commit crimes while living in the U.S. illegally, but, and that's a big but, she won't send out the National Guard to enforce federal immigration laws. So I just think it was so appropriate hearing from Keith just a few minutes ago. You know, we're talking about the crazies in LA or in Illinois or Chicago, but here at home, we have our own governor who is willing to effectively break the law, break national sovereignty if it came down to it, just because she doesn't like President Trump.
Yeah, well, and there's a reason, folks, that she just got reelected as the head of the Democrat Governors Association, because she thinks like them. They would not have reelected her if she was, quote, middle of the road. That organization, like every other liberal organization, is progressive. And, she loves to tout that she's middle of the road, that she's mainstream, that she reaches across the aisle. The DGA would not have reelected her to chair that organization if she wasn't a progressive liberal. And here's another example. And, you know, for her, there's an interesting in that comment. She's, while I support deporting people who commit crimes, well, lady, they came here illegally.
They already committed the crime.
Thank you. Yes. They've already. Now, granted, we also want to do the, get the murderers and whatnot, the gangbangers. But by virtue of coming here illegally, you've committed a crime. Your first act of, by entering the country, you've already committed a crime. That's why you're called illegals.
There's no political narrative that she's trying to weave here, because when you put "but" in the middle of the statement, you have
everything
to invalidate.
After the but, thank you. Yeah, everything after the "but" is bull pucky.
Exactly that.
I mean, we all know what that means.
So
she's really got a lovely personality. I mean,
she really does. And it seems like almost every instance you can find Laura Kelly saying that she's going to violate some law or some aspect of the Constitution, and she tries to make it sound like it's just business as usual.
Right.
I mean, take, for example, the recent news I heard budget-wise. I think the Kansas legislative leaders had a budget forecast. What's the state fiscal picture going to look like in the next few years? And because of Laura Kelly's reckless and unparalleled spending, we have about $2, maybe even $3 billion of taxpayer funds.
Yeah, which is our
coffers.
Money, by the way.
Our money. But she's going to spend all of that to the point that in 4 years, by 2029, we're going to have virtually nothing left. Nothing
left. Of that 3.2 or 3.4 billion. And that's, by the way, just to make sure people understand, that's on top of the rainy day fund.
Yes.
So this is in addition. This is just the slush fund she's got stuffed in her mattress. So you're saying that by 2028 or 2029, she's spent all that money.
She's going to spend all that money. That's exactly right. And it's ringing alarm bells everywhere it should. And I think that's most certainly the case. But it also goes without saying that you can't sit on your laurels with Laura Kelly, because she is going to try to break the law or break decorum any chance that she gets.
Right.
I think this is an opportunity that we need to put a spending limit on state government.
So do you think it's a good idea then that the legislature is finally doing their own budgeting?
Oh, yes. I applaud that.
Of course, I've had Dan Hawkins, the Speaker of the House, on the show, and for that matter, Ty Masten said the same thing. They both feel that when they pass their budget, she's going to, for the first time in history, she will probably veto the entire budget.
Well, it's a dang good thing that we had so many legislative wins in this past November, because you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And that's why I think not only should the legislature craft its own budget, but I also think they need to put a check on Laura Kelly by putting in a spending limit. Say government cannot grow past the economy.
X. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, but along those same lines, then, I think they should put the same kind of a cap on local governments. I think they should put that on counties and cities that say you can't raise property taxes over or cap appraisals or something. Because I mean, I know that people right now, I just got a call from someone the other day who got their property tax assessment went up 14%. Guy I know, well, Ryan Beatty just posted on Facebook the other day about one of his constituents who's a retiree who's losing his home. And you can't have this stuff. And I'll read that to the listeners here who haven't seen it. I linked it to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But I mean, you can't have people on fixed incomes and retirees being kicked out of their homes, and all they've done is mow their lawns. But no, that's what's exactly happening right. If we don't start capping property taxes.
You know, Milton Friedman, the famous economist, always said the true burden of government is not how much it taxes. It's how much it spends. And so when we are seeing families being kicked out of their homes, or where we're seeing families decide, you know what, I'm just going to pack it up and move to Florida. I'm just going to move to Disney World
right.
full time, or stay with the grandkids. You know, that means Kansas is falling further and further behind. And that's why property taxes need to be on the table. Spending cuts need to be on the table. Income taxes need to be on the table. And in the last 2 years of Laura Kelly, we really need to make her a lame duck and take away what I think is the last quote unquote legacy she might have, which is her reckless spending. We got to get rid of it.
Well, and I think also one thing I'd love to see, and that in coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about AFP's legislative agenda, but I'm sure a lot of that is going to be fiscal issues.
Yes.
And they have to, but you know, and you know, I love most of these guys are still my former colleagues that I served with. All of them are my friends, but there's nothing wrong with calling out our friends in the legislature, some of whom have a bit of a spending problem. I mean, there are even our friends, some of them like to spend money. You know, it's time that we started maybe calling out some of our friends and saying, hey, guys, I mean, the most fiscal member of the legislature is a Democrat named Henry Helgerson. He's, you know, guys, come on, let's start cutting spending a little bit.
Well, you know, and there's a messaging thing that we can do at the same time, too, right? It's like, look at the federal level. Look what Donald Trump is doing, bringing in Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, creating that Department of Government Efficiency, creating that DOGE. And what's that DOGE going to do? It's going to be taking a scalpel through the marbled fat of government spending waste that we see out in D.C. And you know what? We should follow suit. We should do the exact same thing. We have things on our law book that we can use to find wasteful spending. We can put in a tax limit, an expenditure limit. Why not just say we're going to follow the will of the people? They elected Donald Trump and they want him to go through and cut the budget. We're going to do the same thing at the state level because we're going to follow that mandate.
Yep, I agree. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got a very, this is a very cool special guest. We, Brigadier General Blaine Holt, who served as Deputy Ambassador at NATO for over a decade, will be with us to impact Syria, Russia, Ukraine, and the drones in New Jersey. Now, I don't know what there is in New Jersey for them to be looking at, but maybe the general will tell us. You're listening to John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. AFP, that's Americans for Prosperity, believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Their community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles. They're a great group of folks. If you want to make your voice heard today, visit AmericansForProsperity.org, sign up, get involved. It's a great way for you to get involved, especially as we move into another election cycle. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, as America awaits the transition to the next Trump administration, our country faces multiple national security threats, both home and abroad. In the news in the last month alone, we've seen drones flying over New Jersey. I don't know what there is to see there, but a revolution in Syria and the continuing war in Ukraine, just to name a few. With us now to analyze the situation is Brigadier General Blaine Holt. General Holt is an Air Force veteran. He was a deputy ambassador at NATO for a decade under two different presidents. The general is a command pilot with more than 3,900 flying hours in a variety of aircraft, with more than 300 combat hours. He's received the Air Force Distinguished Superior Service Medal, the Legion of Merit, and a Bronze Star, among other, a host of other citations. General, thank you. I appreciate you joining us this evening. Merry Christmas. It's a pleasure to have you with us, my friend.
Merry Christmas. It's a pleasure to join your show this evening.
So let's start with the drones. I'm sorry if I'm just cynical, but I don't understand what the hoopla is about. I also don't understand why. I mean, if this happened in Kansas, there'd be rednecks shooting them down with shotguns. But I don't understand. Is this as big a deal as some are making this out to be, or is it all, you know, a whole lot of to do about nothing?
Oh, I so wish I could tell you and your listeners that this is just a nothing burger and we can all just go back to what we were doing before. But we can't. We now can assess at least a few things for certain out of this incident or this crisis. And it's not just the tri-state area of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. It's actually in 11 to 13 states right now where you've got sightings of very unusual drones, and they fly at night. So the problem is, just like the Chinese balloon that traversed our country and collected intelligence on our sensitive military bases, if that's what's happening here from a foreign power, well, okay, that's not good. That's bad. The government should be countering that. But we don't know what they're doing, just like that other balloon. We don't know that they're not releasing anything. We don't know that there's not weapons on board. What we do know is that our sovereignty, it's likely now that they are foreign drones, not U.S. I have a source that backs up that up, at least. And then you've got Representative Van Drew in New Jersey who's saying, listen, I'm hearing that they're Iranian drones and they're coming from offshore. At first, I thought that was very implausible. And after talking to a senior person last night in the military, that's actually not. He's pretty close to what's going on. So then that gets to, well, then why isn't our government doing anything about this? And that's where the real question is to me. What we have seen in this air quotes smooth transition period to the Trump administration is this administration is just creating dumpster fires all over the world, whether it's Iran, Syria, Ukraine, doesn't matter. And is this just another one where they look the other way while a foreign power has aircraft over our skies? It's starting to look that way. We have to verify more. We have to investigate more. What I don't like is the amount of silence between the federal level of our government and state levels, because you have leaders in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York that are like, we're not hearing from anybody up in the Fed level.
Wow. General Holt, Michael Austin here, free market economist. I appreciate your insights here. Let's change gears a little bit if we can. So we also have the news of the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad falling to rebels. Tell me, is that an opportunity for not only democracy, but, you know, working with a whole new power ally? Or is this going to turn into basically another Islamic State, you know, a now harbor for more terrorists that want to do us harm?
Yeah, so the mainstream media has got quite the narrative cooked up on these HTS kids. But when you unpack it, you'll understand that this is no Jeffersonian democracy reform terrorist group. It's not that at all. It's quite the opposite. So let's just look at the language. Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which is HTS, that means Greater Syria. Greater Syria is defined as Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia. So they definitely have visions of caliphates dancing in their eyeballs. And who incubated this repackaged group from al-Qaeda? Well, that would be Tayyip Erdogan, who is the leader of the country of Turkey, a NATO member, no less, because he's got dreams and visions of being the regional hegemon. So while they're on the world stage saying, don't worry, Syria is going to be a bastion of freedom and democracy, they're literally executing people as we speak in the villages, if they're Christian, Druze, Alawite, former military, former police officers, you know, it's the meet the new boss, same as the old boss. They're freeing some people out of dungeons and torture chambers only to put new people into the dungeons and torture chambers.
We're talking with Brigadier General Blaine Holt. General, I've only got another minute or so left before I let you go, because we're up against my top of the hour. There's been a lot of talk about Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense. What are your thoughts? I mean, he seems like he would bring the necessary change to the Department of Defense. I'm curious if you can comment.
I absolutely can. I think Pete will be a fine Secretary of Defense. I think that he'll build the right team around him. He's certainly going to get a lot of help with that. But here's the thing. I don't have a Pete Hegseth issue. My issue is this is who the president has selected and wants. The president will have to be responsible and accountable for his selections. And so I think that the Senate should confirm Pete Hegseth, and then if they don't like that pick, well, then they should take that to the president. But the president should be allowed to have the team that he has selected. He got burned real bad in 2016 when the establishment provided him with teammates. We saw how that went. So now he's picked his own, and I think his own are a fine team, and I think they're ready to hit the ground running. I think they're going to do great things for the nation.
I like the way you put that, because it did seem like General Milley and some of the others let's just be generous and say they were not on his side. Some in many cases worked against him. And I think you're right. I think this is the team he wants around him. And barring some criminal activity, which I don't believe we've seen any evidence of that, then he should get the team right. He wants.
Absolutely. And I think you're very generous.
Yeah, thank you. General, I appreciate again, well, first off, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
To our country and for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend. If you had to, in the last, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, how would you define the Trump military doctrine?
First off, we're going to get rid of Marxism, and then we're going to put the edge back on the blade that is the United States military, and then we're not going to use it because we'll have a demilitarized foreign policy.
Yep, peace through strength. That's fantastic. General, thank you again. I appreciate you joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.
We'll be back, and then Bill Pascoe from Tea Party Patriots will discuss the rest of the Trump cabinet positions. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. All right, I'm going to sleep in here. Welcome back to the Phil. This one's not a pass. This one would be a fail.
I'm a little sleepy right now.
A little sleepy, yeah.
I totally disagree. I am a huge Steve Perry fan, and I found this. I said,
well, there's three of us in here. I'm a no, Michael.
No.
Yeah, democracy, folks. Welcome back to the John Whitmer. We'll ask Bill Pascoe here in a second. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. See, now this, if you'd started it here, it might have been better.
Let me remind you, the guy behind the board, he gets two votes.
Ooh. Yeah, that is true. He can always dump me. He could turn off my mic at will. So make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. He can also play the Grinch every time I come on the air. So I should behave myself. Pete Hegseth's nomination for Secretary of Defense seems to be gaining support in the Senate. Notably, Senators Lindsey Graham, someone needs to retire, and Joni Ernst, who were once skeptical of Hegseth, are now signaling support for his nomination, highlighting the growing confidence in his ability to lead and reform the Department of Defense. With us now to discuss this nomination and some of the other cabinet picks is Bill Pascoe from Tea Party Patriots. Bill, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you, John, and I prefer the Johnny Mathis version myself.
Ah, see, there we go. So we'll say that's a neutral. So Bill, Senator Joni Ernst, who's also a member of the Armed Services Committee, and like Hegseth is a combat veteran, previously said she wasn't ready to back Hegseth. They met twice, and then after her second meeting last Monday, now she says she'll be supporting him through the process. That sounds like good news for him, correct?
I think it's very good news for him. Yeah, this was a nomination that was probably the second most controversial nomination of all the nominations. First most controversial, obviously, being the Matt Gaetz nomination. Gaetz drew fire for 8 days, and that was helpful. It would have been probably a little more helpful if he could have drawn fire for another 8 days. But yeah. He played a role, and then everybody swung their guns to train fire on Pete Hegseth, and Hegseth looked like he was in trouble. Here's the good news: Pete Hegseth decided he was not going to go down without a fight. And on one day, we're now talking about 10 days ago, in the middle of the week before last, he came out swinging, and in the space of 12 hours. He published an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. His mother went on Fox and Friends. His mother had been brought into this by an incredible, what I think is an unbelievable journalistic breach of ethics.
Yeah.
The New York Times got their hands on an email that his mother sent him, and they decided to publish it.
Yeah, muckraking at its.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Absolutely. It was really bad ethics, but. So his mother became part of the story. She went on Fox and Friends and spoke, as you would expect a mother to speak, of her son. Okay? Then he went on the Megyn Kelly podcast, and then he had the first meeting with Joni Ernst. And she came out, and she didn't say, well, I'm done with this guy. She said, we had a great, productive discussion. And then she had a follow-up discussion with him. And then he met with Lisa Murkowski, and he met with Susan Collins. And they both came out with statements saying that they appreciated having the opportunity to sit and talk with him. In other words, they didn't say, this guy's going down. And that's all you can hope for at this point from Murkowski and Collins.
I think
he's in much better shape now than he was a week and a half ago. Absolutely.
You said something interesting about the Gates pick. Do you think that was an intentional? Because a lot of presidents will do that. They will nominate somebody that's sort of there. All right, I'll give you one. Do you think that's what Gates was?
If some people have suggested that, and you're right. It certainly looks like if there was going to be a goat in the class of cabinet nominees, that was the one that was obviously going to be it because
heavy lift.
the kind of lift that Russian weightlifters can't do without steroids. It was so obvious from the get go. It was really amusing just watching how that played out. There's an art to assembling a cabinet, and not just to assembling it, but to announcing the release of the names. And Trump this is the second time he's done this, and he's become masterful. This is a masterclass that we're watching. It's called Flooding the Zone. And what's going on here, if you compare the Trump release of the names of the cabinet appointees in 2024 for the 2025 cabinet, compare that to Biden 4 years ago. Biden hadn't even named five cabinet members by the time we got into December. Trump had named virtually all of them by the time we got into December. So what's going on here is when you throw that many targets at the press corps, there's only 23 and a half minutes of evening news on ABC and NBC and CBS. There's only so many pages that the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post can devote to coverage of the cabinet nominees. So if you throw out 10 people in the space of 3 days, they might be able to do decent coverage of one or two or possibly even three, but they can't cover all 10.
No, it really is beautiful.
This is not the way Biden did it. Biden just dribbled them out.
It really is a beautiful strategy.
It really is.
We're talking with Bill Pasco of the Tea Party Patriots, Michael Austin, free market economist here. To pivot back to Pete Hegseth, I mean, from what it sounds like from you, it really sounds like this opposition is just based off of baseless accusations. It's just from people who clearly don't want any fundamental change to their agency or to their pocketbook. Is that a pretty good way of summarizing it?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Hegseth he's not going to go through this scot-free. What has taken place is we've learned about something that I'm still trying to figure out. How exactly did we learn about it? He paid a settlement to a woman who accused him of sexual assault. We don't know her name. We know that she reported this to the police in Monterey, and they investigated, including talking with him and talking with witnesses and looking at hours of surveillance video, the on-camera video there in the hotel. And the police there decided not to bring any charges. Nevertheless, she threatened a lawsuit, and he decided, you know what, I want to make this go away. And so he offered her a settlement, and she accepted it. And as I understand it, the terms of the settlement were neither side's going to talk about it. So I'm trying to figure out, why are we talking about it 7 years later? Mm. How did that settlement become public?
Yeah,
we don't know her name.
Clearly, she violated that.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
Somebody clearly did. But if she doesn't choose to go public and put a name, there's a reason that the Constitution guarantees that you have an opportunity to confront your accuser. Because in our system, we believe in adversarial justice, the idea that competing versions will make themselves present, and we will figure out by cross-examination who's telling the truth. Well, you can't cross-examine somebody who's an anonymous accuser.
Yep.
And so if she chooses to remain anonymous, I think that most senators, I think that more than 50 senators are going to take the position that, hey, there's nothing to investigate here. The only thing I know is that the police investigated it and they decided not to bring charges.
Well, innocent until proven guilty.
He's innocent until proven guilty.
Bill, I know we've got to let you run, but I'm assuming you then feel fairly confident about the other nominees, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., Kash Patel. I know Tea Party Patriots is supporting Pete Hegseth. Has your organization weighed in on any of the other nominees?
Well, Jenny Beth Martin, the leader of the organization, published an op-ed a week ago, middle of last week, calling for the confirmation of Kash Patel as the FBI director. We haven't yet weighed in on Tulsi Gabbard or RFK Jr., but I imagine that may take place in the next several weeks.
If folks are interested, if they want to, we've had Jenny Beth on the show. We've had you on the show as well. If folks are interested and they want more information about the Patriots, where can they go for that information?
It's real easy, John. TeaPartyPatriots.org. TeaPartyPatriots.org.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. It's a pleasure having you on the show. I'm sure we'll have you on again. Give my best to Jenny Beth as well, would you please?
Will do, and you need to stock up on the Johnny Mathis. I was serious about that.
Will do. Merry Christmas,
thanks,
my friend.
John. Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break, and then Michael and I will continue our conversation. And, of course, we'll take your calls at 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 K. Is this Johnny Mathis, by the way? No, well, you know, hey, you got to be on that, Phil. Come on. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you, if you're looking to get involved, you know, we've got another election starting here just after the first of the year, and particularly down here in Wichita, where we need to get involved and get motivated to oppose the massive $450 million tax increase that's heading our way, thanks to USD 259. The good folks at Americans for Prosperity are one of the ways that you can get involved. They advocate for the keys to unleashing prosperity. They're a community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for real solutions. If you're interested in getting involved in an organization that can help you find a way to focus your energies, make your voice heard today, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And of course, while you're online, follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Also, don't forget, this time of year, sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show are available. For more information, you can email john@knssradio.com. Speaking of which, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance, I'll be broadcasting starting January 12th from Topeka once a month. We'll be broadcasting from Topeka. So Michael with us again throughout the show tonight is Michael Austin, free market economist with AFP. In fact, here coming up next segment, we'll talk about their legislative agenda, but I wanted to ask you about this story that I saw. Speaker Dan Hawkins shared this, but this is a story from the Topeka Capital Journal where two lawmakers, a Republican and a Democrat, allege that the Laura Kelly, I kind of love Laura Kelly. I mean, sometimes
keep coming back to this. Yes.
Yes. That she tried and apparently failed to secure an attempt to lure the Kansas City Chiefs training camp to Washburn University in Topeka. Apparently, she put about $32 million in some slush fund, essentially, up. She reallocated the funds without legislative approval,
yep,
into a slush fund. And then when the deal fell through, she then reallocated the funds back where they belong. Is that basically, did I get that story right?
Yeah, somehow believing that is no harm, no foul. But,
well, yeah, because I didn't actually spend it.
But you read the story here, and it looks like she took ARPA money. So that was the American Rescue Plan Act from Joe Biden that was meant to be federal assistance for COVID relief.
Oh,
so
well,
she took the federal COVID relief funds, the interest off of that, and decided to secretly gifted away to Washburn University so that the Chiefs can practice football there.
But so if that had gone through, how was she going to explain it when the legislature found out?
Or I guess she was probably expecting she was going to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. You know how delinquents somehow think that they can get into mischievous problems. But what's ultimately horrifying about this is just to the extent that Laura Kelly is willing to usurp constitutional norms. I mean, whose job is it out of our three branches to appropriate funds?
Yeah, the power of the purse resides with the legislature.
And the fact that she's willing to do this, it doesn't matter whether it's about the Chiefs, it doesn't matter what money is actually, where the money actually comes from. She was willing to do this behind the legislature's back in order to do this type of deal. What else has she done behind our back that we don't even know about?
No, yet? I mean, don't get me wrong. I actually like the idea of having the Chiefs having their training facility in Kansas.
You like the Chiefs?
I like the idea of having the Chiefs having their training facility in Kansas, mainly because it would be a boon for the local economy. I don't like the idea of $32 million in taxpayer money going to it. If the Chiefs want to move their training facility here, let them do it. That's a great idea. It'd be great for the local economy. We don't need to spend taxpayer money to do that, though.
I agree. And the fact that, don't forget, this is COVID money. This is what was supposed to be used for battling COVID relief. And then Joe Biden massively relaxed the rules so that state agencies or localities can spend it on anything that they want to, having nothing to do with COVID. So not only do we have some sort of a grievance at the federal level, but then you have Laura Kelly using it for obviously exactly what Joe Biden wants, but then at the same time doing it behind Speaker Hawkins and Senate President Masterson's back.
Well, credit to Henry Helgerson, who I mentioned earlier in the show. He's one of the few fiscally conservative Democrats in Topeka who caught this. And he and Troy Waymaster, a Republican, they caught this, brought it to the attention. And now Laura Kelly's got an egg on her face, basically. And her attitude is, well, it never happened, so it doesn't matter. We didn't actually do it. So that'd be like me stealing something and then regretting it and taking it back and saying, well, I'm not responsible because I took it back.
Well, remember,
actually, that is literally what this is.
If the left doesn't have any double standards, they don't have any standards at all. I don't know if you remember this, but back during the pandemic, the Kansas Department of Labor, took funds out of Kansans' bank accounts, right? Because they accidentally gifted that money for unemployment insurance, realized it was done fraudulently, and pulled it back out. No harm, no foul, right? As soon as they realized it, they pulled it out. What did Laura Kelly do? She fired. She made her Secretary of Labor resign over that issue. But when Laura Kelly does it herself, it's, oh, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, well, this is typical. I mean, look at what happened in the last leadership elections. She spent $2 million of her own PAC money and then another $1 million in outside money. And the only victory she won was to defeat her own party minority leader.
Thank you, Laura Kelly.
Right. Yeah. And the only reason she did that is because he was too cooperative when dealing with Republicans. So she wanted to punish him, basically. She didn't like Vic, so she took him out. And now, now she's sitting here trying to dictate terms to the legislature what they should pass next session, even though she lost every election she ran and plus three seats in both chambers.
It's the quintessential example of Laura read the room.
Well, she's incapable of reading the room. She still thinks they're going to pass Medicaid extension. We'll take a quick break, and then you'll give us a review of the legislative agenda for Americans for Prosperity Kansas. I'm always fascinated to hear these because I know we'll hear coming out soon. We're going to get one from the KSRA, and we'll also get them from Kansans for Life. Very curious to hear what AFP's is, because I guarantee you there's at least one issue that all three organizations share.
I think you're going to be exactly right to hear that.
I bet I am. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We're talking with Michael Austin. He's sitting in with us tonight. We'll take your calls, and we'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And as always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Michael Austin from Americans for Prosperity, Kansas, is with us to talk about their legislative platform for the 2025 session, which I've got right here in front of me. So I'm looking at the first thing up here, which I love to see, by the way, is tax reform. And you talk about, you know, income tax is the most economically discretionary, discouraging, you know, work. I mean, it's, we all know property taxes, I think, are the worst, which I'd love to see them do something about that. I think they should just completely eliminate the state income or state property tax. What's on the tax portion? What are you guys going to push for? What do you think they can realistically do? Keeping in mind that we already established that in, 5 years, they're out. They've spent down all of the reserve.
Well, I would like to think of it this way. With the great legislative wins, increasing the supermajority in both the Kansas State House and the State Senate, we really have an opportunity to go for the North Star. To just go straight for the end zone here.
So does that mean you want to go back to the flat tax that they were trying?
I think we need to finish strong.
I'd love that.
I think the efforts that we made last year to reduce our brackets, we went from 3, ultimately we had to compromise down to 2. And then we had these wins. I thought that was a mandate from Kansas saying, whatever you're doing, keep on going.
So go back to the single rate.
Go back to single rate. But I also think property taxes need to be a part of that conversation. So effectively what it comes down to for us is how can we make Kansas not only easy to live, lowering property taxes, but also easy to work, right? And that's by lowering income taxes. Don't take your eye off the ball here. We can do both. And if we do some proper reforms on budget, we can make sure we avoid that fiscal cliff and give that money back to
them. Well, the single rate I always thought was the best idea. And you had, I mean, we know who it was. It was Pyle, Stefan, some of the other, you know, well, Pyle was doing it for selfish, moronic reasons. Stefan, I don't know.
He's, well, selfish and moronic reasons.
Okay, yeah, let's be honest. So, and they were just trying to push their own agendas and holding good legislation hostage in the process is what this was. Do you think there's a shot we could get? Because keep in mind, I know there are other organizations who are our friends, but, for example, don't want to see property taxes, would rather see more aggressive income taxes. Do you think we could get a package like what you just discussed?
I really do. And it goes back to our conversation all throughout the night, which is, do you want to follow the mandate that Kansans have set out in this last election? And the answer has to be unequivocally yes. Kansans want lower property taxes. They weren't, they didn't listen to leftist talking points about Brown back this or Trump that. They said, how will you make it easier for me to make a house payment? Right? That's what I want to vote on. Those are issues that are important to me. And for the legislature to answer that question and do that job, then they have to lower property and income taxes.
So the Kansas State General Fund has $2.6 billion in excess of the Rainy Day Fund, $1.6 billion. So they're sitting on massive amounts of reserves. We know that that's, if they keep spending the way they're spending, step two then has to be budgetary reform, has to be cutting spending, because you can't, I mean, you know, I'm going to bring back their favorite phrase, Brownback tax experiment. But the problem with what they did, and that was the year before I got in there, but the problem they did with the Brownback tax cuts was they didn't cut spending. You can't cut taxes without cutting spending. Do you think this legislature will actually look at and do some legitimate spending cuts?
I think they definitely can, as long as they get the input from the people. I mean, I think the election was pretty self-explanatory, but I'm sure there are going to be a couple of legislators who feel like they don't have to, that they can still keep funding their little special project, pet project, and think everything's going to be hunky-dory. So that's why we really need Kansans across the whole state to join Americans for Prosperity and making sure that we keep the fire to the feet of these legislators, because I think it is absolutely possible to put a spending limit in place and make sure the private sector always grows faster than the government than what we've been seeing with Laura Kelly.
Well, especially with the reserve running out.
Yes.
And I've got, for example, I've got two, you're up from the Johns County area, but I've got, I have a new feature that runs three times a day. It's my carry-on commentaries. And I've got two of them coming up this next week addressing these kinds of issues. One of which is the rail. You know, there's a big push down here to have passenger rail come to Kansas and come down to Wichita, which would extend the Heartland Flyer from Wichita down to Oklahoma City. Okay. You may not be familiar with this, but there are some people here who think it's a great idea that we should have passenger rail from Wichita to Oklahoma City. The problem is, in the first 6 years, the federal government covers 90%. After that, we have to cover all of it.
Oh, that sounds like Medicaid expansion.
It does, doesn't it? But even in that first 6 years, the cost to Wichita taxpayers, through state and county taxpayers, is something like $3 million a year, $3.8 million a year, which means at 10%, that means that in year seven, it goes to $38 million a year. And this is through KDOT's numbers. So they want to do this, and then in year seven, we have to take on 100% of this rail service for an estimated 16,000 passengers, which the math on that is about $3,000 a ticket that we would be subsidizing. So, you know, here's a great example. By the time your reserve runs out, we're now going to be subsidizing about $38 million a year in passenger rail service.
So, John, here's
bill.
But why don't we look into relaxing or getting rid of those massive regulations so that it's cheaper to build that railway service? Now, personally, I don't live in Europe for a reason. I don't really find the value in a rail system. Here in Kansas, we kind of just like to drive. That's just what we do. So I don't really see there's a market for that. But even if you think that there is, lower the cost of doing business
and let the private sector
and
do
let
it.
The there private market work it out.
This is there, but there's a mindset that everyone, there's some people think that government has to be the solution for everything. Again, a perfect example is Laura Kelly's moving the Chiefs practice facility into Kansas. Look, if you then incentivize them through lower regulation, and if it's worth it to them, they'll move their darn practice facility. But if it isn't, the taxpayers don't need to be paying for that. It's the same thing with this rail thing. But my fear is that someone's going to go to Topeka and they're going to pitch this as, oh, look at these 1,600 people who we're going to give passenger rail service, and it only costs $3 million a year, and you're sitting on $3.2 billion. What's $3 million a year? And nobody's going to look at the bottom line, and then 7 years from now, it's $38 million a year obligation.
All the more reason why we think a spending cap, capping the growth of spending, is so needed. Because when you are a legislator and you hear the sob story from either some not-for-profit or some state agency, right, you don't know what to think. And naturally, as a human being, they pull at your heartstrings because they want you to spend taxpayer dollars. But if you have that hard cap already baked in, that's an easy message saying, hey, look, I'm sorry, we cannot spend more than the rate of inflation. Right. So if we give this money for you, that means we can't give it to a program that we think genuinely needs this. And I would rather have that money going to pick a program, the homeless, right, than to do a passenger rail service that everyone's just going to drive past and go around anyway.
Right.
You know, that's kind of what we need. And that's why we advocate for a spending limit in our legislative agenda.
We're talking with Michael Austin from Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. We talked about red tape. We talked about regulations. I knew, here it is, I found it. I knew on page two it would be here, judicial selection reform. And I was hoping you guys would have this as part of your legislative agenda, because I know other organizations are going to have this as part of theirs. But this is really to help us solve the issue that we have with an activist court that is only elected, not even elected, but selected through this archaic system. We're the only state in the country that selects our Supreme Court justices through this Missouri plan, this Missouri model that is only used in one state.
Yeah, Missouri doesn't use it.
Undemocratic process where 5,000 to 7,000 lawyers pick our Supreme Court justices. There's no democratic process. Democracy is not involved. It's a bunch of elitists who pick our judges.
You're exactly
right.
No
accountability.
And the beauty about this policy is, it seems like everyone is on board saying that we need to change the way Kansas picks its Supreme Court judges, because everyone does not like lawyers in backfilled rooms deciding who's going to sit on the state's highest court.
Yeah.
You know, and say what you want. You know, if you like President Joe Biden and you liked his Supreme Court picks, right? Or if you liked President Trump, you liked his Supreme Court picks. What they had in common was that the president made the nomination, but the Senate had to confirm.
Right. Advising consent.
We don't even have that here in Kansas.
No, and that's the federal model for people who I actually prefer direct election.
That's an option.
I frankly think that that's the way we should go. Just put them on a ballot and that's the ultimate expression of democracy. Put these judges on the ballot and let us vote for them. Oh, and by the way, let them stand for re-election as well.
Yes, let us know what these judges would stand for, whether they're going to follow the Kansas Constitution or whether, like our state Supreme Court now, they're going to insert words.
Right, or find a definition of a right to an abortion in the Constitution where one doesn't exist.
Clearly, with our current state Supreme Court, we have a massive mission creep where the judicial branch is taking authority away from both the executive and the legislature, right, by putting things in either the state constitution that's not there. They are dictating to the legislature how much money to spend. That's not their job.
No.
They are dictating to the executive branch on how to administer regulations. That's not their job. And then you just hit the nail on the head when it comes to life issues, right, which is also not their job. So we have so many organizations that are coming together and saying, you know what, no, we want to be able to know what our Supreme Court nominees are advocating for, and we want to use the democratic process to make sure that we either advocate for or advocate against these nominees and make it fair for the people,
or for that matter dictating how much money has to be spent on school funding. Again, not their job. I'm going to take a quick break. But if folks are interested, if they want more information, if they want to see your legislative agenda, they want to learn more, they can visit KS.com www.americansforprosperity.org, correct?
That is correct.
All right, Michael, obviously you're going to stick around. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Michael and I will be right back.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity, AFP. We believe in freedom and opportunity are being the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. AFP is a community of millions of concerned citizens who advocate for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up. And yet, of course, you can get breaking news and severe weather updates at KNSS, where they are always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in the vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radios in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on Facebook page and follow us on X at johnrwhitmer.com. Of course, we always have the Carry On Commentary, which is a 60-second daily feature hosted by our very own John Whitmer Show, packaged up to be heard every Monday through Friday. So please make sure you tune into KNSS to listen to it. Also, we have the weekly Wichita Pachyderm Club, their mix and mingle lunch, Friday at noon at the Petroleum Club on the ninth floor. And then also, put this on your calendar, we have the Sedgwick County GOP Holiday End of the Year Party. That will be held Saturday, December 28th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Estes office at Douglas and Webb. If you'd like more information on any of those events I just mentioned, please visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And of course, that time of year again, we have sponsorships that for the John Whitmer Show are now available. For more information, email john@knssradio.com. So we have some callers on there. I hear we have Pat on the line. Pat, Merry Christmas. How are you, sir? What's on your mind?
Country, grateful to have you this evening. I wanted to tell John where I can mail to him a DPS, a video by a good citizen that got out by the airport in Texas and video DPS planes coming in over and over and over again, unmarked DPS planes, and the buses that come in, they're large buses, and then they're bussed into Texas, and then they're bussed into Florida. And I would like somebody in the Kansas Senate to finally say, we hold Laura Kelly responsible. We're not going to tolerate looking at us like deer in the headlights with the... I can name four other murders besides Lakeland Riley. I can name the drunken Mexicans that have struck down firemen while they're putting out a fire. They're drunk, the Guatemalans. And we hold her responsible. And I hope she's listening to this.
I don't think Laura Kelly could handle listening to our show, but I do know that there are Democrats who listen to the show. In fact, I know one of her staffers that regularly listens, Pat, and they give her little reports on it, whatever, because I've heard that that she has some, shall we say, spies who listen to the show. But I know you've sent stuff here to the station. So if you send it here, your attention to me, trust me, I will get it because I've received other letters from you over the course of the last few years. So yeah, just send it here like you normally done in the past and it comes right to me. So I appreciate it. And by the way, Merry Christmas. We always appreciate you, you calling and the stuff that you email and the stuff that you've, when you call and when you mail in, Pat, I appreciate you, brother. Merry Christmas to you. You know, it's interesting, but that's right there. Immigration, it's why he won.
Yeah.
That's why I think some of these Democrats who, even Laura Kelly, you know, she's just, you mentioned it being out of touch.
Yes. That she needs to read the room because this is not happening in California. This is not happening in Martha's Vineyard. It's happening in your very own backyard.
Yep.
And even a place like Johnson County out in Northeast Kansas, you know, one of their number one concern was public safety.
Yep. I know. You did a good job with that intro, by the way. That was, it's been a while. You hosted, you guest hosted the show.
Yes, you've had me guest host
once or twice, didn't you? Yeah. That's right. When I was still a candidate back, I think it was off for, 4 months, maybe? That was brutal.
Well, I'm glad we were able to help you out, though.
I hated it. I hated not being on the air. It was, I mean, I enjoyed being a candidate, and who knows, someday in the future I may be a candidate again, but I did not like being off the air. It was.
I can see why you like this job. It's very enticing. You have great folks like Pat who just came on.
Yeah, it's fun.
Giving their opinions. You also have great guests. And of course, we talk about issues that Kansans want to hear about. Yeah. What's going on with the drones? Well, what's going on at the border? What's happening in Ukraine?
It also allows me to stay relevant, to stay connected, to be a factor. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've enjoyed it so much. I mean, we're going on, I don't know if you know this, this is now year six.
Oh, congratulations.
Because November, 15th November, right around the middle of November is our, that's our anniversary. So yeah, now we're on to year six years I've been.
And you're
doing
talking
this.
About issues people care about, like, we try, yeah. Like the school bond, you know,
yeah,
issue that we've heard
so
about.
So speaking of which, is AFP, have they taken a stick? Cause I think this, I would not be surprised at some point if they weigh in on this too, cause it is, you know, one of the things that's frustrating, again, I've got a commentary coming out this week on this, because the school board is now pitching this poll. And you've worked on campaigns. Yep. You know how polls are. So they're pitching this poll. They surveyed 301 people. And of the 301 people, 77% say they support the bond initiative. Okay, well, Michael, you and I know, we've worked on campaigns. I could do a poll right now that tells you that the moon is made of green cheese if I asked the right question and polled the right people. So polls are worthless. And I guarantee you, like, for example, one of the polling questions said, do you support the bond initiative knowing that your taxes will not go up? Well, I think if you ask that question, most people would say, well, if my taxes don't go up, it's not so bad an idea. What they don't tell them is if you vote no, your taxes go down.
So we at AFP, technically, we have not come out with a position on the school bond, but we are asking questions. Because when it comes to any bond, and for those who don't know, whenever you hear the word bond, just think about issuing debt, right? So whenever an organization, governmental body decides to issue a bond or issue debt, that debt has to be repaid.
Yeah.
And so the first question we always ask when we hear this is, well, how are you going to repay it? Right? It doesn't matter whether you're going to repay it today or in a year
or
in
this
15
case,
years,
30 years.
Or 30 years. Right. But it always has to be paid. So then if it's a governmental body, the question then becomes, taxpayers are going to pay for it. And the question is, which taxpayers and when? And if you can't answer those questions, it really gets some skepticism on how great of a bond issue this really would be.
Well, and that's what frustrates me is they tout things like this poll, but I guarantee you if they told people a no vote is a vote for a tax cut, I doubt they'd have 78% approval. I think the problem is voters are hearing all the pitch. I mean, they're spending somewhat like something like $250,000 to put this vote on and to market the vote. And I think and that's taxpayer money too, by the way, they're yes. spending $136 million on an out-of-state company to market this thing. I think if they were honest with the voters about it is a tax increase because your property taxes will go down if you vote no, I think people would realize, wait a minute, we don't need to spend $450 million so you can close a bunch of schools and build a few new ones.
I think you're exactly right. The fact is that if you don't vote for the bond, your taxes will go down.
Right.
That should be communicated.
Yeah, enough.
And let it be a fair question and consideration for the voters to consider.
10 seconds. If folks want to connect with you, what's your Twitter handle? What's the best way for folks to connect?
Easiest way to do it, KS Economist, either on X or Facebook. Best way to follow me and what's going on in the state.
Brother, Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you before then.
Merry Christmas, John, to you as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.